We have finished up with the Apostles' Creed, and hopefully we have discovered that there are truths upon which we as Christians stand, and we have hope in the midst of a hopeless world. And today I just want to share a very simple message on how we need to proclaim that good news and proclaim those truths that we have in Jesus Christ. And I think of this verse, I don't have it up here, but I think of this verse in Philemon, verse 6, it says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we might do for Christ. Let me read that one more time. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become more effective when you perceive all the good that we might do for Christ. I want to go back, and there's a book that was written, a series of books that were written. Actually, J.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis came together, and they challenged each other to write the best children's novels. And C.S. Lewis came up with the Chronicles of Narnia series, and just so happened that the Chronicles of Narnia was on last night. And I know I've shared about this before, but if you've never read this series, read it. Read it, because, you know, we think about Veterans Day, and I think about how it was that during this time in which this Chronicles of Narnia set, there were some children. And during the Blitzkrieg of London, many of the parents sent the children out into the countryside to stay with relatives in order they could actually be safe from the bombing of the German forces. And so there were four children in the story who went out to stay with their uncle, and they're exploring this huge house, playing hide and seek, and they find their way into the midst of a closet, and there at the end of this closet, they enter into this new land called Narnia. It's snow-covered, there's a light post there, which is very significant, actually in our lives as well. But in the midst of the story, they have discovered that the White Queen has taken Narnia under her control, and that here's the phrase, it's always winter and never Christmas. It's always winter, it's always depressing, it's always downbeat, it's never rejoicing, it's never joy, it's always winter and never, ever Christmas. But they hear in the midst of all of this that there is a person coming, Aslan, who is coming, who will liberate the land and set the grip of winter free from the land of Narnia and bring it back to its original creation. And so you have this story in the midst of all this, and Aslan comes, and he makes a sacrifice on that Table Rock. But what we discover and what the kids discover is that Aslan is a huge golden lion. And at the end of the book, the first book in this series, Aslan actually invites them to go on a journey and to climb on his back, and to hold on to his golden mane as he gallops across the landscape, past waterfalls, past mountains, through the valleys. And C.S. Lewis says very simply, have you ever had a gallop on a horse? Think of that. Then imagine instead that soft roughness of golden fur and the mane flying back in the wind twice as fast as the fastest racehorse. And he never grows tired. But he goes on, he talks about that. But very simply, question, have you ever ridden on the back of a lion? Have you ever ridden on the back of a lion? Wouldn't that be a real joy to be able to do? But friends, we have a lion, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Now let me ask you a question this morning, and some of you may not want to think about this, but when I mention the word politics, what do you think? When I mention the word sports, what do you think? When I mention the word media or education, what do you think? When I mention the word church and evangelism, what do you think? What comes to your mind? Let's look at that last one, church and evangelism. Because a lot of people will think that it's nothing more than the imposing of our beliefs on someone else who doesn't want to believe like we do, so we impose our beliefs upon them. Or we think about long revival meetings where we sing 18 verses of Just As I Am, and it drags on forever. But evangelism simply is this, it's sharing good news. And we need good news in our world today, amen? I mean, all around we have bad news, we have all sorts of news in our media, and we don't want to hear it, but we have good news as people of God, people of faith. We have news of liberation, news of forgiveness, news of hope, news of salvation. We have good news that has permeated us. And just before Jesus ascended up into heaven, he stood with his disciples on that mount, and he said to them, I want you to go. I want you to go into all the world and what? Share the story of Christ and his love. I want you to preach the good news. I want you to teach the good news. I want you to declare the good news. I want you to baptize people in good news. It is good news that we have. And very simply, friends, if we had good news concerning cancer, for instance, what would we have in our own life? We would find that we would have good news because we want to share that with other people. Is that right? If you had a 100% surefire cure for cancer, how many of you would want to share that this morning? okay? If you had a surefire cure for anti-aging, okay? You knew that you would never get old again. Would you want to share that with your friends and neighbors? Some of you want your friends and neighbors to grow old, don't you? All right? But we want them to grow young, okay? If you were walking down the neighborhood one day and you found a family sitting in their house and they were eating their dinner one night and you saw flames leaping out the upstairs window, would you not go up and bang on their door and share with them how they could find deliverance and freedom from that devastation that would await them? Would you not share them? You see, why do we go? Very simply, John 3:16, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Isn't that good news? That whosoever believes in him should never, ever perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know about you, but that's the best anti-aging elixir I know of, amen? Because Jesus Christ gives us life. So very simply, we are to go. We are to go. Someone else once said this, evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And some of you know that. I mean, you've had hobos come to your home when you were younger, and you know how they marked the steps outdoors because that was saying, telling the next person who came along, you can find bread here. And that happens even in today's world because I know I feed some of those transients who come through and those individuals. But we have good news. Here's the second good news. We are more broken and more hungry than we ever dared imagine. The book of Ecclesiastes says that we have a hole within us. And that hole can only be filled by the one who created us, who is God. So we have a void here in our heart that people try to fill with all sorts of stuff in this world. But we're more broken and we're more hopeless than we ever dared dream, and yet we are more loved than we could ever dare imagine. God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. So very simply, I want to just share a short message this morning about what it is that we need to do as a people of faith, a people of God, and what was being done in the early church, and even when those first disciples found Jesus. All right? First of all, John 1:40 through 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." In other words, the one that they had waited for centuries would now hear. He had come. The one whom they had waited for to bring them deliverance and liberation was now among them. They came and said, "We have found the Messiah." And what did they do? They brought him to Jesus. So he found his brother Simon Peter. He told him about Jesus, the Messiah, and he brought him to Jesus. Secondly, John 4, the woman at the well, we find that she was a Samaritan. And Jews hated Samaritans. They didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. But Jesus knew that Samaritans were just as loved as anyone else. He died for them too. And so he goes to this well one day, and he's sitting beside this well, and he's thirsty, and this woman comes to draw water, a woman who's emotionally broken, she's spiritually broken, she's relationally broken. And he begins to talk with her. He says, "Could I have a drink of water?" And she begins to question him, and they begin to talk together. And very simply, she leaves that well that day, leaving her water pot. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men and to the women, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did." Then they went out of the city, and they came to him. She discovered the Messiah. She went back to the city, to her friends and her neighbors and her relatives. She told them what Jesus Christ had done, how he had helped her, delivered her, gave her life, and she brought them back to Jesus. Then, of course, we find in Mark chapter 5, a young man who's addicted. He's captured by these demonic forces. He's chained. He's a real terror in the neighborhood. And Jesus liberates him, breaks him free from those chains. He sets him free, and he says, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion upon you." And later in Mark chapter 7 and 8, when Jesus comes back into the same territory, he brings these people to see Jesus. So he finds those who need the help, the Lord. He tells them about the Lord, and he brings them to Jesus. So here's the simple steps I want you to remember. Find someone that you love who needs Jesus. Andrew found Peter. Philip found Nathaniel. The woman found the neighbors. What are they doing? They're reaching back into their existing network, into their friends, their neighbors, their associates, their workers, those that they know. And every one of us in this room, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have family members who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that network that exists for us is one of the primary places where we can share and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are shining lights in the midst of those family gatherings. Next week, not this week, but next week is Thanksgiving. And then you have about 4 weeks after that, Christmas. And I want to tell you that sometimes family gatherings aren't always the best place. I was talking to someone last week, and they said, you know what, our families are all weird. And they're true, right? All of our families are dysfunctional. But sometimes in those dysfunctional families, we have an opportunity to shine as lights for the glory of God and to live a life of Christ. So find someone that you love in your existing network who needs Jesus. Then I want you to encourage to love them. So here's your assignment. I want you to make a love list of 1, 2, 3 people. I want you to pray for them, deepen your relationship with them, love them, and pray that God will plant a seed into their heart. Because the best time for a person to come to know Christ, or I should say the most open time, is around the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas. People are more open to the good news of Jesus Christ. You have music playing, you have gift giving, you have special worship services. These are wonderful times to begin to pray for those in your family, in your neighborhood, who need Jesus. Amen? All right, say amen with me.
Amen.
All right, I want to make sure you're on the same page with me, because if not, I'll have to go back and repeat this all over again. Okay, so make a love list and pray for them and build relationships with them. Tell your story, secondly. Tell what you know. Now, let's go back to this, because very simply, there's a lot of us in this room, and me included. I'm an introvert. I've always been an introvert. I'm a rather shy individual, and I discovered a long time ago when I was back in seminary working in actually a mental institution by a chaplain there. He says, you know what? I'm an introvert, and I never would have guessed it. He told me very simply how to calm my introversion, or whatever you would call that, introverted lifestyle, okay? But very simply, tell your story. Why do I say that? Because I think about a man who was blind. He was blind from birth, John chapter 9. And in this story, you have all sorts of theologians and religious leaders who are talking to this man who's been born blind, and they're drilling him, and then they drill Jesus. Who sinned, Jesus, this man or his parents? Why can't he see? Why is he blind? What's all this thing about suffering and pain? Well, Jesus reaches out, and he heals this man of his blindness. And now he's able to see. And these religious leaders and others around him come to this man, and they say, you know, what's happened here? And they begin to ask him all these theological questions. And many of us in this room, we haven't been to theological schools, and we don't know a lot about suffering and pain, and we don't have all the answers to everything. And I don't know about you, but when you're asked a question, you know, and you don't have the answer for it, and you say, what, you're a Christian, and you don't know the answer to that? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things out there I don't have an answer for. But one thing I do know, I may not know a lot of theology, and I may not know everything there is to know about the answers in the Word of God, but I do know this, I once was blind, but now I see. And that's the story. Nobody can refute the fact that you once were blind and you now can see. You may not have all the answers to suffering and pain, but I will tell you, you have a story. And so very simply, think about your story. Can you tell your story in about 2 to 3 minutes? What it was like before Christ? What has it been like since Christ? And how did you come to know Jesus? Very simple. A 3-minute story. That's not too hard, is it? You know, some of us might say, well, I was like the Apostle Paul. I went to church, and I was involved in Bible study, and I taught all the Sunday school classes, and I washed all the windows, and I gave all my money to the poor, and man, I was really going great. You know, I was in with God, and then I discovered the only way I can actually find Christ is realize that it's nothing I can do. Jesus has done it all for me, and he set me free. And that does set me free to know that Jesus has done it all. Or maybe you've been a part of Hell's Angels. And you were out there on your Harley, you know, with your leather jacket on, and you've got tattoos that we can't see this morning. Raise your shirts, guys. You got tattoos on your body somewhere? Oh, Kevin does. But anyway, you know, you're saying, I was just a real hellion out there, but Jesus got a hold of me, and he saved me. You see, we all have different stories. I once was blind, now I see. Paul says this. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ ambassadors, and God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back home to God. Come back home to God. You are made for God. I think back in World War II, there was a young Japanese soldier. His name was Yoichi Soki. It was something like that, okay? Okay, he was on the island of Guam, and the war ended, and he was afraid he was going to be captured by American soldiers because he didn't believe the war was over. And he found himself a little cave, and he hid in that little cave for 28 years. They had dropped pamphlets from American planes saying the war's over. He didn't believe them. Every night he would come out and forage for rats and frogs and roaches and eat them. And he would then go back and hide during the daytime. And in 1972, January, there were some hunters in the area who happened to stumble across this young Japanese, well, by then he was old, an old Japanese soldier, okay? And they said, the war's over. And they said, oh, no, no, no. He said, no, the war is over. And they convinced him the war was over. He could go back home. And he went back home. And he found his family. The war is over, friends. We have a story to tell. We have good news. And then, of course, we need to bring them to Jesus. Again, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Now, how do I do that? Well, we can do that through various Christmas events. We can do that through Easter events. You might invite somebody to a BSF exploratory meeting or whatever they have. You know, you can bring them to church to a special type of event. You know, these children, this children thing we had, there was a lot of new friends there who were actually coming. But we invite them and we bring them to Jesus because we know that Jesus is the one who heals all hurts. He heals all pain. He forgives sin and brings us back home to God. We also bring them into the body of Christ. Can you imagine playing football by yourself? Man, you'd get beat up, wouldn't you? You really would. If you were the only person on the other team, I mean, you'd be a pancake most of the time. You'd spend half your time in the soaking tub because you'd have, you know, all the opposing team jumping on you. Can you imagine having a baby and leaving it out in the streets? Some people have done that. You can't leave a baby like that. We are to find and we're to tell and we're to bring them to Jesus. There's an old story. It was written by Joseph Bailey about Gooley. And Gooley was a college student. Gooley was a klutz. Everywhere he went, he tripped over his own feet. I mean, he was just clumsier and all get out. And came Christmas break, and he went home for Christmas break. And when he came back, lo and behold, all the other students on campus discovered that Gooley could fly. Not fly an airplane, he could fly his body. And it goes like this, according to his roommate. One evening they were studying for an exam late at night, and Gooley got hungry. And Gooley turned to his roommate and said, I think I'll go down to the school cafeteria and buy a hamburger. And his roommate said, well, Gooley, it's about ready to close. You'll never make it on time. He said, well, I'll try. He went over to the window and lifted the window and stepped out, and his friend went berserk. He went running up and down the hallway saying, Gooley jumped out of the window! Gooley jumped out of the window! Gooley jumped out of the window! And they all ran down to see Gooley laying flat on the pavement, but Gooley wasn't there. And every once in a while, they would be walking across campus, and they would see Gooley, and all of a sudden, he'd just take off and fly. He'd just fly. And they all became envious of Gooley because he knew how to fly from class to class. But they were all embarrassed and a little bit envious, and so they never asked him how to fly. Never once asked him how to fly. You would have thought they would have told him, but never told him. Well, anyway, they went to the library, and they began to study all these books on aerodynamics. How can a person fly his body? Couldn't find anything. The administrators were embarrassed that Gooley could fly, and so they decided to have a flight emphasis week, and they had a lecturer come in and gave a special talk on how to fly, and then all the students discovered that the lecturer could not fly either, and so the attendance dropped off. Well, what happened was, you know, they always wondered why it was that Gooley never, ever shared his secret with them. I mean, why, you know, how did he do it? At least tell us how you do it, or tell us why, show us how to do it. But you know, Gooley transferred from that university. You know, and the sad part about it is, according to his roommate, is that he went to another university, so he's been told that all the students know how to fly. But, you know, couldn't he have known that we also wanted to know how to fly? Now, that might sound like a goofy parable, friends. We have good news in Jesus Christ. And there are people who look at us, and they're wondering, what's your secret? How can you make it through the tough times? How can you deal with the situations of your life? And we have a Savior who can make all things new. And how dare we not share that good news with others because they too want to learn how to fly. Here's what we find. Hebrews 12:15, Paul says, see to it that no one misses out on God's grace. See to it that no one misses out on God's grace. We have an assignment, and that is to go, find, and tell. Precious Lord, we thank you, we praise you, that you've redeemed our lives. Father, I pray this morning that we would truly be aware and alert to those around us who need Christ, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would simply share our story. We once were blind, but now we see, and we invite you to be able to see as well. Father, we give you the praise. Amen. This last song we're going to sing is I Love to Tell the Story, and I want to share this. If you would like to receive an anointing this morning for a fresh anointing of the Spirit or for whatever the prayer need, I would invite you during this song to come forward, and I will anoint you with oil this morning. But sometimes we just need a fresh anointing and just to know that we are an instrument of God. So let's stand, let's sing this last song, and if you would like to be anointed, you're more than welcome to do so.